Today I want to discuss some matters relating to Purim from the Sefer Sha'ari Yimei HaPurim by Rabbi Tezner. We've used this we use the Sefer many times. I went through yesterday some new chapters that I know that I never went through before. So, and I want to share with you some things that caught my attention, some things that I found to be very interesting. All right, let me turn to the right page. Okay, first thing is Asher Haini. He has a nice discussion about the Piyut Asher Haini. After we learn the Megillah at night, after we make the concluding bracha. We say this beautiful piyut Asher Haini. Now, not everyone is aware that Asher Haini is written in the order of the Aleph base. Okay, Asher Aleph is Aleph Asher is Asher Haini at Saskoim Vayofer Machshavos Arumim. Period. Then starts the base. Bikum base. Bikum Aleinu Adam Rasha Netzer Zadon Mizraam Olek Gimel. Go have the Asha. So it's very interesting to keep aware that it's a very beautiful piyut, but it's also built upon the letters of the Aleph base. And then we come to Shoshanas Yaakov. Shoshanas Yaakov is the inclusion of this piyut. Now this is a universal custom to recite this piyut. The big Shiloh that he discussed, what about saying this by day? Most shuls you will find do not say, and at least where we frequent here in this neighborhood, do not say Asher Haini by day. When they finish the Megillah, they have the concluding bracha, and if you're lucky, they'll say Shoshanas Yaakov. If you're not lucky, then they're in a rush, they're out the door, they right away start Ashrei, and they're off to the races. So he says, where does it come from not to say Asher Haini, to say Shoshanas Yaakov? So he says, because it used to be the custom. This is what he traced. Rav Tezner is a fantastic, he traces Minhagim. Fantastic sefer, fantastic insights. It used to be the custom that during Shmona Esrei on Purim, very few shuls do this, but some still do, they say a krevitz. What's a krevitz? Krevitz is that at the end of each bracha, before you conclude Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avram, there is a couple of lines. And before each bracha, they say that this krevitz is a piyut. This is a very beautiful, elaborate piyut. So it appears that it used to be the custom in ancient times, I don't know what they call ancient times, there was a hakpada to say piyut. It's a little piyut. Shabbos Shkolim. I don't know, this past Shabbos. Did anyone want to say piyut? You say Shachris and Bon by Musaf. Okay, you daven in a shul that's very generous. Yeah. And some shuls will only say it, they'll only say it before Musaf. And probably, what?
Don't say it at all.
And most shuls in this neighborhood don't say it at all. Okay, that's where I dive in. They wouldn't even think of saying it. They wouldn't even dare say it. Okay, so there are different customs, but it used to be such a thing. Like on Yom Narayim, we all say piyut. You say, who doesn't say on the Sanatayk? Who doesn't say on the Sanatayk? Who doesn't say V'chom Aminim? Who doesn't say V'yesayu? These are Keler Ochtin, these are all piyut. And there's a hakpad. If you don't say piyut, there's something wrong. So the same way there was a hakpad that they say piyut during the Yom Narayim, there was a hakpad in times back days ago to say piyut on certain special occasions, especially Purim. But here's the catch. What he explains, the hakpada was not to say every piyut, just to say at least a little bit, a token, one piyut. It was extremely common to say the krevitz. That was very common to say the krevitz. And I think to some degree there are shuls that say the krevitz. There are shuls that say krevitz. So he says that's enough. If you said the krevitz, you were yoytzei. We don't look at it in these terms. You were yoytzei piyut. Piyut is also like a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah Mesholach Manas. There's a mitzvah Matanis Lev Yoinim. There's a mitzvah Mikra Megillah. There is such a thing. We don't relate to this. There's a mitzvah to be Mekayim the Minog of reciting piyut. So at night, the only game in town is Asher Haini. Because there's no Shemona Esrei, there's nothing to daven. It's not like Yom Kippur night, Kol Nidre, where you're going to start having slichas and saying piyutim. There's no game in town. So the only piyut is Asher Haini. But by day, the custom was to say, a krevetz, you yoytzei. Yoytze the mitzvah of piyut, the inyan of saying piyut, male is no need, that's why it became the custom to omit asherhen. And he argues here, and he thinks in sources, is that since Bizman hazeh, it's already becoming very common not to say the kravitz, we don't say, so therefore it's proper to say asherheni. The right thing would be, if you're not going to say the kravitz, don't make light of not saying asherheni when you finish laning the Megillah. And just saying the very first, the last line, Shoshanas Yaakov, is not a true fulfillment of what is really required of you. A very interesting look at of this inyan of Asher Haney by day.
What does the word Krovitz mean?
Oh, so what? Yeah, you know what I mean. Sorry, I once knew all these things. There's a Krovitz, there's a kurva, a Krovitz, Krovitz. They're all different types.
So why is it called Kravitz instead of Yoytzer? Everything else is
Yoytzer, because the brach of Yoytzer Hamo'oyres. Yoytzeris really comes from it was a piyut that was inserted in the bircha, in the brach of Yoytzer Hamo'oyres. That's a real Yoytzer.
It's called Yoytzer?
No, the real place for the Yoytzeris is in the bracha Yoytzer Hamo'oyres. Yes. Then there's something called a kurva. A kurva means it's close. It's close to the end of the first three brachas. What we say on a sanatoykef, those are called kurvas, because it is close to karoiv, to the beginning of the first three brachas. There are different terms.
I mean, kurvitz for Purim is
every single bracha, with the exception of Estzemachtem. You have found the answer on Google?
No.
Okay. There's an article in one of these magazines that I just saw that the
is
rabbi.
Al Hanisim Yoytzer the
what?
Yoytzers?
What? No, definitely not. Al Hanisim is not a Yoytzer. 100% not. Okay, so now the Kravitz is the Kravitz. If you look in the Siddur, you get a chance. We end off every single bracha from the beginning of Shemon Esrei until Shema Kileinu, with the exception of one bracha. The bracha Es Tzemach David Avdecham Herasatzmir V'Kantum Shuasecha. That bracha, there is no insertion. And the big question is why? What happened to that bracha Es Tzemach David? So there are two simple answers. One answer is, Purim is all about Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Esther were descendants of Shaul, Binyamin. There is a Malchus of David, and there's a Malchus of Shaul. After Shaul came to an end, that's it. Now we go to David forever. But Purim is a day that we focus on the Malchus of Shaul. Mordechai and Esther, who are their descendants. Therefore, to make note of that and to emphasize that, when we come to the bracha, Es Tzemach David, Avdo Chomer Satzmiach, David, it's not your day, not today. David, you have Shavuos.
Yeah, another thing, we said that Tzemach David was really.
Oh, the second answer. Excellent. Right, the second answer to the question is that it used to be that the bracha Es Tzemach David and Yerushalayim Ircha was one bracha. It was one bracha. And the Kravitz was written at the time when it was one bracha. When they inserted, there are different opinions in this matter, but when they inserted the bracha of Olam al Shim al Tisikva, so they still wanted to have the same number of brachas. We have a total of 19 today. That's not so similar. It was always 19. It was 18. It was 17. There's a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi in this matter, but they wanted to preserve the number of brachas that there was originally. So therefore, they didn't have something special for they broke up those two brachas. So. When they broke up the brachas between the Tzemach David and Yerushalayim, the two separate brachas, they only had one kravitz, they only had one nusach, so they didn't want to go and write new stanzas, new lines. So in Meila, they kept it for the Yerushalayim Ircha, and they did not write something new for Es Tzemach David. That is the second answer as to why we don't have anything special for Es Tzemach David. The kravitz is longer than the bracha. That is true. That is true. Okay, so this is something which is nogea the piyutim, piyut asher heni is the piyut, the kravitz, and how they interact with one another. Okay, let's go to the next idea. There is a custom on Purim to eat seeds. Now this to eat. Now in fact, some suggest that the original hamantashen was not filled with apricots and with prunes, and now with today they have all these new fillings, chocolate. It was filled with seeds. The ancient what? Mon. And what is mon? Mon in Yiddish means seats. Seats. Now why were the original Hamantashen filled with mon, filled with seeds? Because, so it says now, here is the Chiddush, it's a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. And Hilchas Purim says, Yesh Oim Sheyesh Le'echol Machol Zar Oinim B'Purim. Here's the Chiddush, Zecher Le'Zar Oinim She'ochal Doniel V'Chaverov B'Bovel. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan comments on this Ramah, that why in the world did the Ramah mention the reason to preserve the minhag of eating seeds come Doniel, when there's something much more basic? Esther, it says beferish in the Gemara, in the Megillah Daf Yud Gimel, Vayishanecho v'yesnarosecho l'toiv, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Omar shechilo zar oinim. That Esther did not want to eat the non-kosher food in the palace of Achashverosh. You can imagine the chazarai that they had there. So she said, I only eat nuts. Oh, nuts. Only eat nuts. Avenue J, call in and order.
No
chocolate. Only nuts. So the Aruch HaShulchan asks a very, not roasted. Roasted would be non-kosher. So the Aruch HaShulchan asks a very fundamental question. Why did Ramah tell us the minhag of eating nuts on Purim comes from Doniel, when Doniel was taken into the palace of Nebuchadnezzar with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? What?
She got the idea from Daniel.
Right. Oh, so she got, but it's not today, but it's Purim today. So very nice, she got the idea from Daniel, but today it was Purim. Purim, we're focusing on what Esther did. So the Ramah should quote that we do lezecher vayishanech v'yasnarasech l'toiv.
Because of Esther.
L'toiv. It's a pasuk in the Megillah. The miracle came about that she was able to hide the fact that she was Jewish by eating seeds, and zecher for this that she ate seeds. So we also eat seeds on Purim, the Ramah. And you want to go, why? How did Esther get this brilliant idea of eating seeds? So she will trace Esther. She got the idea from her predecessor, from Daniel, and Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, which lived a couple of years before her. They lived a little bit before. So what's going on with the Ramah? So this is a very, he deals with this question very much, and he basically says the idea that the whole idea of the Megillah is Oimer Davar B'Shem Omroi Nevi Gula L'Olam. Where do we learn that from? We learn that from Mordechai. The whole halacha Gula L'Olam. Esther said Vayo. Esther said B'Shem Mordechai. She told Achashverosh B'Shem Mordechai. What happened? And Mordechai. Oh, Mordechai deserves to be honored. Mordechai deserves to be honored for what he has done for the king. The Gula. So therefore, and that brings Gula. It brought a minor Gula of the miracle of Purim, and this foreshadows the goal that we're going to have when Mashiach comes. Therefore, since it's so important to focus on this Maamar Chazal, even though it's true, the reason why we eat seeds on Purim is Zecher for Esther, but we immediately trace back to its source to Daniel. Daniel is the one that came up with this idea of eating seeds in order not to eat eat non-kosher food. Okay.
That's also, some people say, really not
Hamantashen. Oh, we'll come to that in a moment. It's Montashen, Haman with an H. Hey, we'll come to that in a moment. It's seats. Okay, now there is another minhag. The Magen Avraham writes, and he wants to tie this in. The Magen Avraham writes in the name of the Mishnah, brings this down, that the custom is a very strange idea, that the custom of eating seeds is not by day. The custom is eating the seeds bedavka at night, on the night of Purim. Not by day. Why the night of Purim? So this is a very big mystery. So he wants to suggest that's exactly the point, because we're going, the Iker Zman of Purim is the day. We learn the Megillah at night, we learn the Megillah by day. But the most of the mitzvahs Hayom can only be fulfilled by day. So the night is just basically a lead-in, is the Hakdama to the day of Purim. Therefore, since the custom of eating seeds is not so much Esther's seeds, it's the seeds of Daniel, who is the inspiration for Esther, it's bedavka at night, before the main part of the Purim day, to remind us that the Purim was not a one-time event. There were many things that were put in play in advance in order to make the miracle of Purim come about. And one of these things was Daniel. He laid the framework for the possibility, not just with the seeds. There's a lot of symbolism here. That Daniel planted the seeds himself, right? Daniel planted the seeds that it could possibly be a person, a religious person, could serve in the palace of a non-Jew. In other words, what he's trying to say is Esther, when she was taken to Ahasuerus, she could have given up. She could have committed suicide. She could have revealed, "I'm Jewish." And the whole thing would have been over. Where did Esther derive the inspiration that a Jewish person can live, survive, thrive in the palace of a non-Jew? Not Yosef. Yosef, maybe going back too far. Daniel. Daniel was the one that gave Esther the inspiration that it could be done. It's not impossible. Yeah. I'm sorry. He demonstrated that all of this can be done, and he was successful. So he. So in other words,
he's still there.
What?
In fact, he was still on the scene.
Daniel, that was the question. The discussion. How long did Daniel live?
Right.
But in any event, it's a very profound idea that our Tezner is pointing us to from the Magen Avraham, the Mishneh Berurah, and from all this collection of the Ramban and the Aruch HaShulchan, is that there's more to the story of Purim than just Esther alone. Part of the story of Purim is who inspired Esther. Daniel. Daniel planted the seeds. Eating the seed is not just we eat seeds. Daniel ate seeds. He did not want to eat kosher food, non-kosher food, so he ate seeds. It's more than that. He planted the seeds from which Esther was able to draw inspiration to live in the palace of Ahasuerus and survive. We give him the credit, and we give him the credit bedafka, the night of Purim, not on Purim day. The night of Purim is symbolic of what came before Purim. The Hakdama, the lead in the building to Purim, the stage was set for Purim. That is what we're giving credit on the night of him. There are two parts to the Megillah. The first part of the Megillah until Balai Lahahu, and the second part of the Megillah sung Balai Lahahu, the second voice, just to raise your voice. What is the Iker part of the Megillah? So I once heard a darshan explain that the night of Purim, the Iker part of the Megillah is the first half. On the day of Purim, the Iker part of the Purim is the second half. The day of Purim, Balai Lahu Nadu Shnas HaMelech, day of Purim, that's when the miracle unfolded. Everything happened. Purim is the day, is the time when you mekayim all the mitzvahs. That's time of activity. The night was the hachana. All of the foundation was laid. The night is the hachana, the preparation. We lay the entire Megillah by day and by night. But the Megillah is broken up into two parts, until Perek Vav and after Perek Vav. At night, the Ikka part of the Megillah is until Perek Vav. By day, the Ikka part of the Megillah is from Perek Vav to the very end. Therefore,
And the idea of darkness and light.
Yeah.
Things are going downhill.
But then they get better. But it's just not that there's a foundation that's being prepared in the dark. In the time of darkness, things are being established. Part of that foundation is a person that doesn't appear in the Megillah. You would never even know to connect him, but that is Daniel. Daniel Ish Chamudos. He's there. And we eat the seeds at night, you're not eating it for Esther. You're eating it for Daniel. He's the one that planted the seeds for everything that Esther was able to do in Ahasuerus. By day, you don't eat seeds. There's no need to eat seeds by day.
Hamantash.
Oh, that's a different inyan. We'll come to that a little later on.
You have to eat two times Hamantash.
Hamantashin is the bread also. The meaning of the Ramah only quotes the meaning of eating seed. The Ramah makes no mention of eating Hamantashin, cake. A mizonos with a filling of seeds or prunes, whatever. It doesn't make mention. He talks about just eating seeds. It's Ramah, Perish Ramah. Yeshav sheyesh lechel ma'al, his machal. Machal zarayim. He doesn't talk about cake, pashtida, or this type, but that's something later on. Okay, that's one topic. Let's go to another topic. Another topic is there's a meaning on Purim to wake up very early. In fact, it's quoted in the Magen Avraham. There are 5 days a year you're supposed to wake up early, and the siman is Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker. Avraham, there are 5 letters in the name Avraham. Aleph stands for Aleph. What does Avram stand? Aleph stands for Tisha B'Av. Aleph, Avraham. Aleph of Avram is Av. Aleph stands for Tes be'ov. He's supposed to get up early on the day of Tisha B'Av and daven early. Why? I'm not exactly sure. I named day of Teshuvah. What?
Av stands for of.
Of. So, yeah, I know, but why be'davka on that day of the year? Is there a special inyan to get up very early in the morning? Most people get up late. Most shuls have a later davening on. What? Ayashkem, yeah, but why dafka Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, there are 5 days a year. All the kinnis. Aleph Zed Tisha B'Av. Days, Av. Days stands for Briyas Ha'olam. When is Briyas Ha'olam? Rosh Hashanah. Okay, what is the Reish? Reish is Rabbah. Rabbah stands for the Tzomer Rabbah. The Tzomer Rabbah, the great fast. The Tzomer Rabbah, Yom Kippur. And the He stands for Avraham is Hoshana Rabbah. It's a Yom Hadin. And the Mem, Avraham, the Mem is Megillah. This is a Magen Avraham. Okay, this is not a gematria book. The Magen Avraham says, Vayashkem Avraham Aboker, there's a custom to wake up early 5 days a year. Right? Tezner does not discuss the other 4 days, but he says, what's Taka the Inyan? Why? Why should you need to get up early on the day of Purim? What's the big deal getting up early on Purim? So simply you can answer, he says, well, there are many mitzvahs. The mitzvahs hayom, matanas lavyonim, shloach manos, the suda. What? And the suda in the morning.
Yeah, Shalach Manos right
afterwards. Even before, some said that you're not even allowed to eat until you give Mishalach Manos.
This is all done before Chatzai.
Done right away. You finish davening, you have to do the mitzvah Sayyim. The mitzvah, the person has a bris milah. Well, you can go wait until 5 o'clock in the afternoon to do the bris milah. You got his Rizim Akdimim. Mitzvah Hayyim Mishalach Manos. You give them Mishalach Manos right away, immediately. Don't dilly dally. You have a Suda, Matanas Davionim right away. A Suda right away. You don't have to dilly dally until the very last minute. So, this is a simple reason you have a lot to do during this day. You have to read the Megillah, you have to do the Mitzvah Hayyim, and therefore, that's why you have to get up very early. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is because we know from the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Sifrei Musar is that on Purim is a Yom HaTzfilah, Knos Kol Ayahudim Vitzum. It's a koyach hayoyim, a toyach hatfilos, and then you get it very early. He then says something very interesting, is that it's a zecher for nodida shenosoy shel oylam. Balayla hahu nodida shnas hamelech. On that night, the night of Purim, the night of the miracle, which was the second night of Pesach, the king could not sleep. He was bothered. Maybe there's someone trying to kill me. Maybe there's something wrong. Something is going on. There's a conspiracy in the palace. Maybe someone knows information. And the reason why he does not want to tell me is because I was ungrateful. So he called in the people to come and read the Sefer HaZichronos, and lo and behold, they discovered big son of Aseresh, what happened, and it was written down Meshem Mordechai. Oh, he's going to be Mechavi Mordechai in the same way that Mordechai, he shows appreciation. The people that save his life, maybe there'll be someone out there in the country that will come forward and reveal to him any conspiracy that is unfolding before him. Chazal Darshan, don't read when it says Nodra Shnas HaMelech. It means Shnasoy Shel Melech Malchei Hamlochim Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's sleep was disturbed. Now, what is it? Hashem Dahinei Lo Yonun V'Lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Hashem does not sleep, but in Golos, Hakadosh Baruch Hu makes believe that he sleeps. He's not paying attention to our tzaris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ad Kan, I'm waking up, I'm not going to, no more Hester Pan, I'm going to show that I'm awake. And in fact, there's a very common, there's a minik, beautiful minik, some do it, some don't do it, that when you lay in the Megillah, when they come by Laila, Nodra Shnas HaMelech, besides raising the voice of the entire parak, they sing, they chant the word HaMelech in the Nigun of HaMelech for the Yomim Noiroyim. HaMelech, the same way that there's such a custom. It's not a joke. Some people think it's a litzan. It's not a litzanis. This was the sans, minik sans. They did this. This is very what? It's like people unfortunately get a little carried away during the Megillah and they do litzanis. But this is a holy minik to indicate this Mamech Chazal the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Kaviyachol, he woke up. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wakes up, we wake up. Therefore, the third reason why it is a custom to wake up early is a zecher that nidadoi shenosoi shalayla. It's Purim is a time to wake up. To wake up and smell the coffee. It's a different kufa. Okay, let's go to the next thing. The next thing is, do we say, Do we recite Hallel on Purim? Of course not. Gemara gives three reasons. Because Akatei Avdei Achashverosh Anan. We are still servants of Achashverosh. The Gula has not yet come. It's not a complete Kabil Halday. A second reason we do not, the Gemara says, because the Megillah, Kriyasa Zuhilula. And the third is, we don't say Hallel on a miracle that occurs outside Eretz Yisrael. Lemay Nafgemina. This Nagelach Lemaisav, a person cannot hear the Megillah. There are people that are homebound and do not have the opportunity to hear Mikra Megillah. They're in a hospital, they're in a place, they can concentrate, and it just does not work out for them. The question is posed, should they then recite Hallel? Some say that if you can't hear the Megillah, then you should say Hallel. It depends on these nafkaminas. If you learn because the miracle happened outside of Chutz La'aretz, and outside of Yisrael, you don't. The Akatya Hashver Shanan, you don't. But it's because Kriyasa Zuhilula. If you're not laying the Megillah, if you're not laying the Megillah, you should say Hallel. So Halacha L'maisa, there are some who say that you should say without a bracha. You should say Hallel if you're not going to hear the Megillah. It's not so uncommon. There are people that just don't, can't hear the Megillah for a variety of reasons. Then there is such a need to say Hallel, period. Okay, Kriyas HaTorah. Problem with Kriyas HaTorah is there are only 9 psukim. There are 9 parash b'shalach, vayavam aleik, vayalachim im yisod berfidim.
Go back to the first reason.
Yes.
The first reason was that there wasn't. We were still servants of Ahasuerus.
Yeah. Yes, we're still servants.
But
it means we're in Golas.
Chanukah,
the Chashmim had autonomy. They did. According to, they had autonomy, complete autonomy. No one had shlita over them anymore. The Syrians were out of the picture for a short period until the Romans came in. There was the end of the Persian control, shlita of Eretz Yisrael. I forgot the number of years. It was a short time. It wasn't very long. Yeah. They had complete autonomy, independence.
They had already made the agreement with the Romans. Stood on the side and didn't help, and they just let it happen. Yeah. They figured they'll just pick up the pieces from who's ever left.
Who has left? But they survived the Chashnaim. But then, not that long after, the Romans already stretched their influence and their control over the Beis Hamikdash, and that led to the Golus 180 years later. But it was in Eretz Yisrael. It was a very, very, very good tekufa. Okay, now let's go to the next inyan of the laying Kriyas HaTorah. We've got a problem, only has 9 psukim. The Gemara Megillah says you may not lay in a section of the Torah unless you have 10 psukim. So how do we resolve this problem of laying on Purim Day 9? So inyan by itself, but this is what a shocking thing he says, that I never heard this. Some have the custom, they repeat the last pasuk a second time. Ever hear such a thing?
No.
Neither did I. That's why I'm telling it to you. Chidushim. Okay. Let's go to another. Okay. Now this I found this to be shocking. Okay. This is a shocking thing. He talks about, you know, of people get dressed up in costumes, silly costumes, nice costumes, costumes from Moli Chochma. Costumes is a Dvar Chochma. You know, there's something to it. The Chochma to put on a costume. Are you allowed to dive in the Shemona Esrei, go to Mincha, in a costume? Okay? A couple of years ago, this is very disturbing to me, and it created a discussion.
In,
yeah?
He had 10 psukim.
9 psukim.
Only 9
psukim.
Only 9.
Are you allowed? There are 3 types of people in the world. Those who know how to count, and those who don't. Okay. Are you allowed to wear a costume during Mincha? During Mincha, during Shachas? Okay, a couple of years ago, there was a person dressed up in a real costume, carbon copy of the Pope.
Oh my God!
What are you talking about? Shmoyne begadim.
Shmoyne
begadim. It was good. It was the real deal. What?
Yes, yeah,
that Mincha
Baruch
Hashem.
Wearing the weirdest
costumes. Now, I've seen weird things. Okay, you want to wear the Lord of the Rings? So you want to dress? There was a very popular costume. What's they call?
The wizard.
No, not the wizard. What's the rolling? What's the?
What?
Harry Potter. Oh, Harry Potter. That was a costume. That was a very popular costume for a long time. But the Pope. I mean, come on. So this did not go off very well. Of course not at Salem, but it did not go off very well. That I could tell you.
The whole family dressed like Santa Claus.
The tips of Shaitan, they don't even know what Santa Claus is. They didn't even know what it is. Okay, but this the person knew what it was, and it created a little bit of a disturbance. People were not very happy. Disturbed the Simchas Torah, such a costume. Okay, but let's see, there's a costumes. So they asked the Shaila too. He asked the Shaila to Shevet Halevi, Rav Wozner. Now, and I'm telling you, he doesn't say, but he almost says it between the lines. It could be I'm totally off the chart what I'm saying and reading into his words. But he basically, the feeling you get is, what's the question? You're wearing a hat. You're wearing a jacket, and you're following all the chumras. Okay, all the chumras of what you need for davening, but it's a costume. This is not who you are. Lifnei Hamelach, Ribbono Shel Olam. One thing, you want a Simchas Purim. So basically, he seems to say, guess what? That's what Purim is all about. In other words, what do you think Purim is? A costume. The costume is between me and you. It's between me and you. The costume is between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Purim is. But this is a very profound idea. On Purim, what? He's saying there's no problem, because that when you come lifnei the Ribbono Shel Olam, the whole year round, we're just wielding costumes. When you come in a black suit and a black hat, I'm a tzaddik. Really, you're a tzaddik? You're full of baloney. What do you think you are over here? Toichai kibaroi. So no, the chitzoniyai smer the pinimius. On Purim, you're able to say Ribbono Shel Olam publicly, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's all a facade. I'm not really who I appear to be. But nevertheless, I still need you to help me. That's the whole essence of what Purim is. The common man assumes that the costume is a way of faking your friend. Between me and you, the whole year round, I fake you out, this, that, we all know it's a joke. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, no, here it's serious business. No, this is what Purim is. Purim, that's a very deep idea. You have to expand upon it at a time. But that's what he says. You can go and you can wear a costume before, because this is the essence of Purim. You come before the Ribbono Shel Olam in a costume. It's not really me. When I do in a good way and a bad way. When I do an Aveira Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not really me. My pnimius is I want to do your Ratzon. When I do something good, I acknowledge I'm a faker. And the acknowledgement of me being a faker should be a zechus. I know I'm not the real thing. I'm not trying to make believe. Powerful stuff of what it means to dive in to the Ribbono Shel Olam with the costume on Purim. I found that to be amazing. All right, let's go to another idea. Jumping ahead. Okay, there's some very interesting. Okay, let's just do a couple of short things. Mishloach manos al yidei shaliach. When you deliver mishloach manos, the Mishnah says in the pasuk, mishloach manos to send. When you send something, how do you send it? The word shaloch means a shaliach, al yidei shaliach. So the Mishnah Brura, we've all seen this, children, you go in the yeshiva, you bring the Rebbe the mishloach manos, and you give it to a shaliach in front of the Rebbe, I'm making him my shaliach to give you the mishloach manos. Where does this come from? It comes from a Mishnah Brura, and the Mishnah Brura quotes a shuvus binyan tzion. Shas and Shuvus Sefer Avi from one of the early Acharinim, and he has a dilemma. The pasuk says explicitly, mishloach manos. You have to send. It has to alidei shliach. The Mishnah Brura is not machria. Chavetz Chaim, it's not clear. Maybe yeah, maybe not. So therefore, to be machmir, you should make a shliach. The pella, the wonder is, if you look up the actual tshuva of the Binyan Tzion, it could be the Mishnah Brura didn't have the real tshuva, or he only had part of the tshuva. He does conclude that you don't have to. And in fact, it's better not to. Because the whole purpose of sending Mishloach Manos is to be chureyus. You can do Mishloach Manos much better when you do it yourself. If you give, you yourself come and you present yourself to your friend and you give your friend the gift, certainly most people assume that will make a much greater bond between the two parties than sending it al yidei shlich. So even though Takan says Mishloach, the word is misleading, the Binyan Tzion in the Tshuvas concludes that taka, you should do it yourself, and it's even better to do it yourself. So no one knows the answer to this question. What happened to the Mishnah Berurah? Why did the Mishnah Berurah leave it hanging? I read you what it says over here. Hinei, ha Mishnah Berurah. A lot of wonders about the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, you can write books, but all the mysteries in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah became like our bread and butter. It's the bread and butter, but in the Mishnah Berurah, there are a lot of mysteries. And this is one of the mysteries in the laws of the about the Mishnah Berurah. It's such a common halacha that everyone does. Every yeshiva bacha, they make a shliach, the kind of Mishnah Berurah. Hevi b'tshuvas binyan sin simen mendal. Nistabik. Im hevi b'atz mehamonos v'lo al yidei shliach. Iyoytse. Iyoytse the halal mitzvah. Came in the Chassidus in the pasuk b'shloch m'shloach neima de beinon dafka al yidei shlichus ayin sham ad kan diburay hamishnah bura v'heyosh hamishnah bura hishadav b'sav mishmur does leaves it hanging. He doesn't answer the question. Harbe noyhagim lahakbid l'shloach dafka al yidei shlich de'latzid dechavasei. Bli pitbok. Omnam, here's the pillar. Ham ayin b'tshuvas binyans, they reprinted it. They reprinted a beautiful volume. It's reprinted all the old of the binyan. Tzion b'fnim yirah shehodar. Poshit Sveikosai Vehele She'ein Tsorich L'Shloyach Alidei Shliach Davka V'Tsorich Ian Madua HaMishnah Berurah Lohevi Maskonasa, why he did not bring the conclusion of the Binyan Sin. So it's a minig that was Nespashit in Klal Yisrael only because of the Mishnah Berurah based upon the Binyan Sin, but yet the Binyan Sin itself concludes that you don't have to do it. And in fact, he brings in many places that say Adrab would seem better not to do it. So this is just starting and just leave it with a mystery. Alright, okay, there are a lot of. Okay, we'll leave it one last thing. We'll stop with this. Ve'al hanisim. There's another very big mystery from the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that the correct case is to say ve'al hanisim. However, many people, including Rabbi Tezner, they don't understand why. Why the Mishnah Berurah says that ve'al hanisim? In all of every single source, old source, it's the gears is al hanisim, which includes the Avudraham, the Siddur of Amram Goyin, all the Rishonim, all the way back, the Girsa is Al Hanisim, without the Vav. Parentheses. The Mishnah Berurah says you should say the Al Hanisim. Another big mystery. No one knows why the Mishnah Berurah gave credit, gave weight, to something which appears to be a modern innovation in the Nusach HaTfilah, when all of the ancient sources do say to say...
Well, because the Lashon HaMotiv...
In addition...
And so it's a continuation, and not only is there,
but there must be a reason why. Why? He quotes here. I'll read you what it says.
Yeah, okay. That's the reason for that.
Yeah, it would make more sense to say there.
The Chubik Gemara, Besidur of Amram Goyin, Berambam, Machse Vitri, Rokeach, Avudraham, Veod Harbe Rishonim. So he writes, it's a pella that the Mishnah Berurah was influenced by these people. It's one of the other mysteries. Why? What's going on? There's two mysteries in Hilchos Purim from the Mishnah Berurah. Why he says, Kosa b'sforim shebenusach al hanisim yoimar v'al hanisim bivav hein b'tzvila hein b'birchas hamazon. Okay, so this is just having an interesting idea. Okay, to be continued.